Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, this broke the other day when we were pretty much done with our particular shift, but Metal Gear Solid's movie is moving ahead. Jordan Vogt Roberts' Metal Gear Solid movie, he's the dude that did Kong Skull Island, which I really liked, has cast its Solid Snake. It's going to be Oscar Isaac, none other than Mr. Oscar Isaac, Mr. Dune, Mr. Poe, Mr. Does Everything That You Want. It's a pretty good cast.
He does.
And I thought we'd do the rest of the casting, because me and Jules did a version of this back when the Metal Gear movie was more of a rumor, I think a couple of years ago. I forget. Time doesn't exist. It's 2020. But now that we've got Oscar Isaac and there's sort of more tidbits out there as to the fact that it's like a standalone movie that's going to pull from various different games to make its own thing. Mm-hmm. We thought we would do a rundown of the rest of the cast, but just the main folk, because obviously Metal Gear, once you start getting a hell of a lot bigger or wider, has a hell of a... a sizable cast overall. And we're not going to be casting someone like Drebin as much as I would love to. And so we thought we'd run down the main lot. So, Liquid Snake. This is, I forget who you have, but I've got Josh Holloway for this.
See, that's an interesting shout. And I feel like every single time we talk about video game movie adaptations, me and you always seem to talk about Josh Holloway. I think we're the only people who bring Josh Holloway up all the time.
I just want him to have work. I mean, he's not, he did Lost, and then he was in Mission Impossible, and then he just disappeared off the face of the earth.
That is true. I forgot he was in Mission Impossible. I think, obviously, he looks the part. I think he could be good. I'm just not convinced that he has the top-tier acting chops.
He couldn't do the accent.
I don't think he could do the accent. Yeah, no. that's my thing. I think a lot of times when we cast... like these video game movies, we fan cast them. A lot of times I think we go for looks only. And for me, this one in particular, I think it might be looks only. But then again,
just long hair. Long hair. And he's got like a face, hasn't he? He's got a whole face.
Yeah. He looks like my dad when my dad was back in his prime. I don't know, you know more about this guy than I do, Scott. You've watched all of Lost and are a big Lost fan, so why would he be your chop pick for this?
Well, he's got the long hair, and he's got a nose, which does question it's a Liquid Snake. It is more of the stature. The thing is, my initial casting in the original video that me and Jules did was Tom Hiddleston. I think, and it's entirely because of the way that Tom Hiddleston delivers that one line in the first Thor movie, where Thor calls him insane or crazy or something. He says, "Loki, this is madness." And I remember Loki steps up and he goes, "Is it? Is it?" And he probably gets all, regal Shakespearean villain. And I want that energy. That's what I want my Liquid Snake to be. And it's literally, you need someone that can pull off that one line from the first one where he's like, "I got all of the recessive genes." And I'm like, I don't think that many actors can actually give it that much panache, but I thought Tom Hiddleston could. However, Tom Hiddleston is quite a small, rakey man, and I don't think he's got the bulk to be shirtless, because he literally needs that reveal at the end of Metal Gear Solid 1 where he's shirtless next to Metal Gear Rex. So I thought shirtless, long hair, nice nose, Josh Holloway.
I think, for me, Tom Hiddleston was one when you first brought him up, I thought, ooh, I'm not sure about that. Like, I know in theory, like, obviously you can do the over-the-top British Shakespearean thing, but I was also a bit agreeing with you in the fact that he doesn't quite have that same intimidating threat. But then you look at him in stuff like The Night Manager and kind of things that he's done away from the MCU, and I think if he had to put on the bulk, if he could manifest that other role. I mean, he was up for Bond. Like, a lot of people wanted him as the new James Bond, so I feel he has the ability to be that kind of more intimidating presence rather than the more kind of slight
trickster
kind of villain. I think I think both of these are pretty good shouts. I had I always mess this guy's name up, and I'm so sorry, but Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, have I got that right?
Yes. Either or, it's Jaime Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
This is a phenomenal pick, especially because once I started Googling his name, Nikolai's name alongside Liquid Snake, there are already people making fan-made, fan-casted versions of him, which just look perfect.
Yeah, I think he could be, obviously look the part. When you look at those fan kind of side by sides, like, I think he'd be absolutely spot on. But also, I think he's got the acting chops. He's got the physicality. We've seen that in like the fight scenes in Game of Thrones. And I used to think he wasn't that great of an actor, especially early on in Thrones. But as that show kind of progressed, I just thought he was absolutely phenomenal. He could knock it out of the park. He could bring the sort of grandiosity of early Jaime Lannister alongside the kind of grittiness of late Jaime Lannister for me personally. Yeah. And I think that's who I'd have at the very top of the pile.
No, totally. Like, Costa Waldo is a beautiful shout. I mean, he could do the accent as well. He could do the sort of regal, the Cam Clark style accent that you need from Liquid Snake. And he has all the sort of theatre background and stuff. He'd be brilliant, Josh Brown. I think he'd be incredible. Moving on to Revolver Ocelot. I had Stephen Lang down for this, which is the dude that I know from the end of the Uncharted fan film that Nathan Fillion put together. I'm literally just thinking, who's a cool, crusty old dude with a big tash? That was my sort of my go-in thing. And I think Stephen Lang. Who have you got for Ocelot?
Well, funnily enough, I have another pick, but I couldn't decide between Stephen Lang himself and Viggo Mortensen. I'll stay on Lang very quickly because
Is it Mortensen?
Viggo Mortensen. I'll get to my
been living a lie.
But I think Stephen Lang in Don't Breathe. Obviously, he's really good in the Uncharted fan movie. Mm. But I think if you watch him as the villain in Don't Breathe, he has that kind of old yet incredibly bulky and could absolutely batter you if he wanted to. And he just looks villainous. I'm sure Stephen Lang in real life is quite nice and a lovely dude, but he's got like a really hard, stern, villainous face. Yeah, especially in the movies that I've seen him in. So I think he'd be pretty good. But I was also thinking Viggo Mortensen, especially now that he's much older. I think he also could play a villain like Revolver Ocelot, this kind of, you know, conniving, intimidating threat who you don't really know which side he's on. He's playing everyone at the same time. And I think he has like the nuance as well as the ferocity to kind of pull that off. I don't think he necessarily is one-to-one double for Revolver Ocelot, especially in MGS1 or MGS2. But I think, you know, if you gave him a bit shorter hair, let him grow out that mustache, I think he could maybe pull it off.
I could see that. I think initially, it's literally because I associate Viggo with Lord of the Rings. I associate him with heroism and Aragorn and all that kind of stuff. And I've only really seen him in A History of Violence in regards to doing anything other than that. But I think now that I imagine him with the big old tash, I think he could be a pretty good looking Ocelot. Next up is Raiden. I've got Ezra Miller down for Raiden because I want someone that is that right sort of like awkward, weird, elasticated man that I think eventually becomes lovable. And maybe someone that you doubt at the beginning, but you champion the whole way through because they are charming enough. But maybe I've not seen Ezra do enough stuff in regards to like fleshing out their entire range, but I'm assuming that they could do all the Jack the Ripper type stuff from the end of like Metal Gear Solid 2 if they went more in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Ezra Miller, I think they'd be a good shout if it was like a few years ago. I don't know if I feel like for me, they're a little bit older now. I don't know. Even as the Flash, I think they're kind of, they feel a bit old for that kind of like, you know, younger character sort of.
Your shelf for Raiden is so much younger, though.
Well, this is it, because I'm only saying that. You know, you might be thinking, Josh, Ezra Miller is not old. What are you talking about? But that's only because I've gone for Timothée Chalamet as my Ezra Miller, Raiden, who was obviously much younger and kind of like just breaking into the movies. And if you taught me like a few years ago when he was doing Call Me By Your Name or, you know, I've forgotten the movie. What's the movie that
he's in,
you
Little
do
Women?
With Saoirse Ronan, Little Women, you know, stuff like that. I would have been like, yeah, I don't see him playing this kind of like action role. But now that he's been cast in Dune, the trailers for Dune are out, I think he looks older and he looks old enough for me to kind of properly jump into that Raiden.
When you said Chalamet before we started recording, I immediately picture him in the skull suit from MGS2.
Yeah.
And I just think he'd look about eight. He'd sort of just look like a little boy in his little skull suit. And I love Chalamet a lot, but like, he would just look like a little boy. I guess that's gonna be what you want.
I think that's what you would definitely like run that risk. But I think I can see him in the skull suit, man. I feel like he's got like the frame for it. I feel like he's got the cheekbones for that Metal Gear Solid 2 style Raiden. And I think you could have a really good development, you know, if this becomes a franchise, of him taking on that kind of like darker MGS4 Raiden, you know, cybernetic kind of style, like further on down the line. I don't know, for me he's got the look down, and I know he's got the acting chops, and hopefully Dune can convince us all that he can do like action and be this sort of, you know, heroic leading man as well.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm sure that man could wield a katana very well. Yeah. Next thing down is the boss. The boss, as in MGS3's the boss, the one from the other timeline, the older stuff or whatever. My shot for the boss is Robin Wright. Just complete dominating, kind of crazy mum energy. I just think that the boss needs to be someone that is respectable and can dominate, can fight. And she's incredible in everything. And I think if you combine, you know, her role from Wonder Woman with how she is in House of Cards, mm-hmm. That's pretty much the boss for me.
I've not seen House of Cards, but I know that Robin Wright is supposed to be a formidable actor. And obviously I've seen Wonder Woman, and I think it's a spot. And I think, like, from the little that I've seen her in, she has that kind of presence to her, that kind of authority and that sense of intimidation. And she appears every time she's on screen like someone everyone else is supposed to look up to. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe, I think the boat's passed on me for House of Cards, honestly, but I think Robin Wright is there.
My reaction to you said he hadn't seen it was, oh my God, because that show used to be so good, but it nosedived. There's obviously the big old event that happened, but it was nosediving before then anyway.
I think for me as a kind of counter offer, even though I would not be angry at this Scott Tilford, but I think I was thinking Emily Blunt, perhaps, or Charlize Theron in this role. I thought both of those
Theron
could maybe...
Theron is a hell of a shout.
Yeah, Theron almost seems too obvious. Like, I wanted to get someone else because I was like, obviously, like, you look at, you know, Hollywood down, you think of the big female action stars, and, like, Charlize Theron, for me, is, like, at the very top of the pile after Mad Max Fury Road, after The Old Guard this year, after a bunch of stuff. She's almost
God,
the kind
so
of...
good.
Yeah, it's really good. And she's almost like the de facto action female star at the moment. So that's why I thought of Emily Blunt just as a kind of extra, you know, because I thought, you know, if I was thinking outside the box, perhaps.
When I think, because Charlize Theron would dominate the action side of it. I see her with the Patriot weapon and like going like toe-to-toe in the big field against like Big Boss and stuff. Emily Blunt, I just think, is so friendly and canny in person that I would have a hard time sort of thinking of her as this big villain. I don't think I've seen her in any particular villainous roles. But that might be like, you know, I can be certain that she could do again.
The boss isn't just a straight villain, you know. She's got multiple facets to her. She's a double, triple, quadruple agent. I feel like Emily Blunt has that trusting face where you'd be immediately on board, and then it would be a huge shock if she did betray
Snake. That hard-edged, like, mental role, because they need the big twist later on that, like, actually there was more going on, like, all the time. I don't know how the hell they could write a script that would, like, go between both Metal Gear timelines, especially because it's written by Derek Connolly, who... I want to have faith in Little Des, but, like, I mean, he's done, like, Pokemon Detective Pikachu I loved, Jurassic World I despised, and he did something else that was horrible as well.
I think it was Monster Trucks.
Rise of Skywalker? Monster Trucks? Like, just, I mean, I'd love to say it's in safe hands. I trust Boat Roberts a hell of a lot more than Derek Connolly. Next one down is Big Boss. I've just got Oscar Isaac with beard for Big Boss.
I love that. I love that casting so much. You don't need anything more, Scott. If you've got Oscar Isaac in your movie, I reckon just let him play every role. You know what I mean? Let him be
Ocelot. Well, he could be Liquid as well, really.
Yeah,
See,
I like the idea of them having separate actors for Liquid and Snake, because you know they have slight differences, even though they're obviously clones. But yeah, I think it makes sense to get him back for at least a young Big Boss. You know, if you're going to go down Metal Gear Solid 3, you're going to have some flashbacks in. Just let him play a different version of obviously like the character that came before, the character that all of these different clones came from, you know what I mean? If they were going to cast someone else, though, I think Kurt Russell is perhaps an obvious choice. Obviously, back in the day, his Snake Plissken from Escape from New York was essentially the basis for Solid Snake, at least in Metal Gear Solid 2. You know, that's a direct reference. So I feel like, obviously, he's a bit older now, but he's still... got it. Like, if you look at even the Christmas Chronicles, which I was watching at the weekend, right?
surprisingly good.
And he rocks, and he's got the facial hair, and he's got the actual hair, and like, he could obviously do a villain. He's shown that throughout his entire career. And I think if you get him as Big Boss, as Oscar Isaac's dad, like, that is such a cool little dynamic you've got there for me.
I would love, because the whole, obviously the twin timeline thing, if you go back to the present day timeline, you do need an older Big Boss to walk in at the end and do the whole big monologue about, you know, setting everything right, and this person was dead all along, and this was a clone all along, and I've been on ice for like 70 years or whatever it is. I would love him in that exact role, just wandering in, like, into frame, like through the graveyard, delivering the big monologue. I think that would be lush. Next one down is Meryl. I couldn't think of anyone for Meryl, although when you've got Noomi Rapace down for her, and like, that immediately made me think of her role in Jack Ryan season two. So I'm just gonna defer to you, Noomi Rapace.
I've gone Noomi Rapace purely from the likes of Prometheus a few years ago. I feel like if you look at that movie, not only is she like this strong actor, but also she's got the look down. She's even got like the red hair, kind of like shoulder length. And I obviously she's a bit older than what Meryl is in the first game, but I also think Oscar Isaac is older than what Snake is supposed to be in the first game anyway, so these characters seem like they're going to be aged up a little bit. And if they do decide to age up Meryl and say that, make her more like Meryl from Metal Gear Solid 4, where she's no longer this rookie, you know what I mean? Like, I think Noomi Rapace would be a good shout to fill that, although it's quite a difficult one to cast that, I think.
Yeah, I like the visual of Oscar Isaac with Noomi Rapace. There's very few scenes where Solid Snake and Meryl get to sort of take on a bunch of genome soldiers together or whatever, but I like the idea of them together. We're flying through this thing, taking up a lot of time. But, whatever, it's fine. It's Metal Gear. It's not like we're not going to talk a lot of different things about it. Colonel Campbell, I've got Chris Cooper down for Colonel Campbell.
Oh, I think, that's good.
I just think, that I know, right? Because, thank you. I think I was watching Summer of All Fears and The Bourne Identity, and I was just like, who's a sort of middle-aged to later crusty old white dude that could be Colonel Campbell, but be lovable at the same time? I did see some fan casting saying it could be Robert Duvall. And I think that Duvall's a shout, but he's like 89 now.
Yeah, he's pretty old.
And Colonel Campbell doesn't need to, Metal Gear Solid 4 Campbell is getting towards that age, but I don't think they'll do any of the MGS4 stuff. So if I want a capable, crusty old dude, Campbell, then for me it's Chris Cooper.
That's good. I had two goes at this and couldn't get anywhere near as good as that. I had Bryan Cranston down initially, and then I deferred to Sean Bean. I thought Sean Bean's like a good banter pick. I thought that was just funny because I watched him in Possessor recently, and we all laugh. We all talk about like Boromir. We all talk about the fact that Sean Bean dies and everything. Obviously, the Colonel doesn't die in MGS1. And I just think Sean Bean, judging off what he's recently been doing, the likes of Possessor, stuff like that, he can play this sort of hard kind of asshole, but also he's Sean Bean, so he's inherently lovable, you know what I mean? So you can balance both the scales. And I wonder
what they would even do with Campbell if they directly sort of, because you don't even really see the Colonel until 4. He's just a codex square for Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2. I guess you see him in Portable Ops and Peace Walker and stuff. You see the younger version of him when you break him out of some prison and whatever back in the older timeline. But yeah, I don't know. If they do that role where it's voice only, you could just get Paul Eden back. He's doing all the voice work for the 30th anniversary or whatever it is as well. Last thing, I was just another character that I thought of that I think would play a seismic role across, especially MGS1. Is Grey Fox. I'm going to say Paul Bettany for Grey Fox. I think he could just thinking of his roles in Da Vinci Code, obviously in MCU and everything, the control that he has behind Vision. I just kind of think that you need a bit of that in Grey Fox, and I also think that he would then flip the switch and just go full on crazy when that character is freaking out, learning all of the truth about, or telling Snake about Naomi and all that kind of stuff.
100%. Paul Bettany is one of those actors that, even though he's quite big, obviously he's in The Avengers, the biggest, highest, most valuable IP in the modern age. I still think he's quite underrated when it comes to at least sort of fans and stuff. And obviously he's been in a lot of these kind of cult movies, these cult projects. And he does have that same, like you said, that same control, and yet the ability to go absolutely ham when he needs to as Grey Fox. I feel like it would be a cool reveal, because obviously if you do Grey Fox from MGS1, he's in that ninja suit, he's in that cyborg suit, but if you get that moment where the mask is unveiled and you get to see Paul Bettany underneath, that would be awesome. That would be a great reveal.
Thing with him and Otacon as well, bouncing his face off the floor when he's going up against Otacon. I think we jumped over Otacon. We can sort of throw it. You tell me your Grey Fox, unless you're agreeing with Paul Bettany, and then we should quickly do Otacon.
No, I'm agreeing with Paul Bettany for that. I think that's a good shout. Otacon, I jumped over him for a reason, Scott, because I don't know. I'm really stumped on that one. 100%. When I was growing up, especially, was one of my favorite characters. I barely view him as a character in a lot of ways. He's almost this cipher, this kind of caricature, and that's really good, but it makes him really difficult to cast.
Well, he's only in there to as a mirror to Snake, to highlight how good Snake is. I mean, that was the whole thing. Kojima said that about Raiden as well. It's we're going to put in this totally useless character so that you think that Snake is even better, the legend of Snake. For me, Otacon, he has a few seismic scenes. He is the sort of heart of the duality, that the partnership between him and Snake. So for me, I just went with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I just think that he's immediately likable. I think he could pull off the look. I think that he could be the sort of helper character that gets in bunch of situations where Snake needs to come in and help him. And Oscar Isaac and Joseph Gordon-Levitt could do that really cool handshake thing from MGS 2.
Yes, you know? Yes, they could. That's completely convinced me. You know, yeah. I can't really see him with like the long hair for whatever reason, but I can see him in that tech role, and I can especially see him bouncing off a kind of more hardened Oscar Isaac as Sword Snake. I think that would be very interesting, Scott Hill.
So we've just done a very sort of very quick fan casting, but let us know what you think down in the comments below. The Metal Gear movie has been rumored for a good few years now, and we do know that Oscar Isaac is going to be Solid Snake. For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I mean Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.